US space agency NASA has announced, as we've heard, this discovery of a nearby solar system with seven Earth-sized planets. Astronomers say three of the planets are in the so-called habitable zone, meaning that they circle their parent star at the right distance to host liquid surface water, which is, as we know, the key to life. Scientists detected the planets using NASA's Spitzer Space Telescope and say the newly discovered exoplanets are about 40 light years away from Earth. Sarah Seeger is Professor of Planetary Science and Physics at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. She's too part of the NASA team behind today's announcement, and she's currently at NASA headquarters in Washington. Professor Sarah Seeger, welcome to RN Breakfast and congratulations.
Thanks, Fran. Thanks for having me on your show.
3,500 planets, I understand, have been detected beyond the solar system. So why is this particular discovery of these seven so significant?
Well, there's two reasons. One is that most of those planets discovered are crazy planets. They're big Jupiter-sized planets, or they're Earth-sized planets that we can never investigate in more detail. These seven worlds are ones prime for further observations to understand what's really going on.
Now, the fact that you call them these seven worlds immediately brings to our mind, well, is it a world like ours? What can you tell us in terms of possibilities?
Right now, we can't tell you too much. We're just still really in the early phases of the search for another Earth. So that's kind of what the excitement is to come. I mean, we do know that they're about the size of Earth, and they're approximately the same mass as Earth. And so that's what gives us hope that they may be able to have liquid water and support life as we know it.
Okay, so the size and the mass, have we been able to get a look at the surface?
We can't see the surface yet, nor the atmosphere. But people are using the Hubble Space Telescope to try to see a little more about what's going on.
So the atmosphere is what it's all about, I suppose. That will tell us whether these planets, any of them, are capable of holding life.
That's right, because in our atmosphere, you know, we have our greenhouse gases, which are sometimes very nasty here. But in general, the atmosphere is what helps to control the surface temperature. So we'd like to know what's in the atmosphere, to know if the planet's surface is warm or cold or what it's like at all.
And that determines whether there could be water on any of these planets. That's key,
right.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. Because all life as we know it requires liquid water. So we're looking for a planet that's the right temperature for liquid water.
Okay, let's go back a little because these seven planets are orbiting around their parent star, TRAPPIST-1. TRAPPIST-1 is smaller than our sun. Is it younger? What do we know about TRAPPIST-1?
Well, we know that TRAPPIST-1 is so incredibly, it couldn't be really any more different from our sun. And it's actually what we call, has a funny name, ultra-cool dwarf star.
Right.
Because we have stars that are small, they're dwarf stars. We have small stars that are very small. This one is like very, 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 any smaller, and this object wouldn't be a star at all. And the reason we've looked there is because it's actually easier to find small planets around small stars.
Okay. So, but these are quite big planets around this small star, aren't they?
Well, they're Earth-sized planets, so relative to their star, they're big,
yeah.
But they are still Earth-sized.
Does the ultra-cool dwarf star, does the smallness of TRAPPIST-1, the size of TRAPPIST-1, the fact it's significant, I think it's less than 10% the size of our sun, does that tell us anything about the likelihood or not of the atmosphere of the planets?
Well, we're not sure, actually. I mean, right now, there's kind of different camps. One will say it doesn't matter. A planet on its interior has a giant reservoir, and there's always more gases that can come out and make an atmosphere. Other people say, you know, the solar wind or the high-energy particles flowing off the star could erode the atmosphere. So that's one of the things we're going to be looking for.
Is there an obvious plus that if it's ultra-cool, as you say, that means it's not going to be too hot to support life, you wouldn't think?
Well, it depends what's in the atmosphere. And the great thing about this system, one of the reasons we're so excited and it's so unique, is there are seven different planets.
Mm.
So if one of them's too hot, surely another one will be the right temperature.
Surely. So how do we go about finding that out?
Well, we use our space telescopes. We're using the Hubble Space Telescope. But mostly what we're doing is waiting for the launch of Hubble's successor. It's called the James Webb Space Telescope, set to launch in 2018. And that's way more capable. And with that one, we'll be studying the atmospheres to try to see more about what's going on.
So what's the time frame on that, Sarah?
That's a couple of years. And I know that it may seem like forever, but in space and space science, it's really right around the corner.
And that would be looking to test what's in the atmosphere.
That's right.
Is there another way to test about whether these planets are life-supporting and whether there's life out there? I mean, we are listening all the time, aren't we?
Absolutely. And as soon as we find an intriguing planet, our friends and colleagues who work with large radio dishes and with other telescopes, they actually do hone in on that particular star. And they have been listening already. but haven't heard anything yet.
They haven't heard anything. And how sort of capable are our listening devices? Do you have a sense of that?
Well, they are capable, but the one thing, I think our capability is not the problem. It's whether what nature has provided. You know, is life ubiquitous, and are there chances of life on the system? If there is life, and intelligent life at that, would they be sending us a radio message? Maybe they're doing something else. So it really just depends what nature has in store.
Another key thing about this solar system is that it's only 40 light years away, which is quite close, isn't it?
It's so close yet so far away. But in terms of the stars we've been looking at, it's relatively close.
Is it in the Milky Way? Is it in?
Yes, it's actually one of our nearest neighbors. But that would be like if you have 1,000 neighbors, it's one of our nearest neighbors.
Sarah, you're an astrophysicist. What does this discovery do to you?
Well, my particular life's goal is to find signs of life on another world. And so for me, this makes my goal become achievable.
Okay, it's achievable. I guess I'm wondering whether you have a particular kind of feeling in your bones about this. How excited are you about this?
Well, I'm excited about this only in the sense that when you think about exploring new worlds, it's just, you know, like in my job, we use physics and computer science and data from telescopes, and we try to put that all together and explore. You know, we're not the generation of 100 years ago when people got to trek out to the South Pole and discover something new. For us, space is the final frontier. So I do consider this exciting, but at the same time, I want you to know that there's so much more out there. We all do always hold out hope that in the more distant future, we'll be able to search not just these crazy ultra-cool dwarf stars, but stars like our sun. And hopefully, eventually, we can look for a true Earth twin.
A truer twin. Sarah Seeger, thank you very much and good luck with that search.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Sarah Seeger is an astrophysicist. She's part of the NASA team, which has just announced this discovery just in the last hour or two to the world. A discovery of a nearby solar system, 40 light years away, very close in real terms, but as she says, so close and yet so far. 7 Earth-sized planets who are rotating around the ultra-cool dwarf star we know as TRAPPIST-1. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 6:20.